Chapter 1. Howard Stern goes insane. Tim Pool trends for roasting his horrendous take.
What's going on, everyone? Jeremy here from The Quartering, and now we've got the Beanie versus Howard Stern. Well, really, Beanie versus Howard Stern versus Freedom versus Beanie versus Twitter weirdos. It's not a bad topic to start the day. And if you're just chilling on the channel here, if you haven't yet, make sure you click that like button and that red subscribe button down below the video. It'll be the only way. I say this all the time. It literally is the only way you're going to find my videos. They're not going to be in Google search or YouTube search, so I would greatly appreciate it. Now, I noticed this morning, Tim Pool is trending. Congratulations to Tim. You know, I take my pokes at him now and again, but they really are good natured. You know, I wish Tim all of the best. He's doing his thing, and he's obviously making an impact because he was trending this morning. And why was he trending? Well, mostly because he called Howard Stern an idiot. What did Howard Stern do to deserve the ire of the Beanie? Well, Howard Stern rips anti-poke radio hosts who died. F their freedom. Howard Stern, I mean, the lack of self-awareness from Howard Stern here is shocking. I've always said, and again, you know, I'm not a doctor and I don't care what you do with your bodies. I'm not going to tell my viewers what to do medically. That's cringe, disingenuous, and reckless. But I do talk about the absolute nut jobs. Now, first of all, I will tell you, people that flat out are against any types of protection do ignore science. People think just because you have questions about this latest thing, or you just choose not to take it, that you're suddenly anti-poke. That's not true at all. I have, just so everyone knows, I have all of my required pokes, and then whatever ones they make you get in college, and then whatever ones they make you to get to travel abroad. So, I'm just like most people. I get whatever, you know, I'm supposed to get. But there are some people out there that are curious, you know, want to hold off on this particular latest one. And I don't know. I have a hard time chastising them for it, given, you know, how quickly things were developed and how the information's changing. Now you need 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pokes. It's going to be every year from now on. Pfizer's going to be making $100 billion. But Howard Stern says, F your freedom. My freedom's actually more important than you. Again, shockingly tone deaf. If you know anything at all about history, Howard Stern, when are you going to stop putting up with the idiots in this country and just say it's mandatory to get the poke? Stern ranted on Tuesday's episode of the Howard Stern Show. F them, F their freedom. I want my freedom to live. Now, Howard Stern is worth nearly $1 billion by all online estimates, somewhere between $700 million and it's probably over a billion by now. Howard Stern is probably one of the most free people on the planet. I want to get out of the house already. I want to go next door and play chess. I want to go take some pictures. Literally nothing is stopping you from doing that, Howard Stern. Nothing. The 67-year-old, king of all media, maybe 20 years ago, continued to mock the deceased right-wing radio hosts, taking particular pleasure in pointing out how many of the dead, at first probably defiant, changed their tunes on their deathbeds. That's just sick, to be honest with you. Does Howard Stern do this about people, obese people? Probably. People who get lung cancer from smoking? Probably. It's like, dude, have some human decency. Literally, you couldn't be more free, Howard Stern, and you're out here pretending like you're in the gulag. It's really funny to see these radio host guys. The radio guys are the best. They're like, four of them died. Four of them were like ranting on there. They won't get poked, Stern said amid laughter on Tuesday's show. They were on fire, these guys. It was like day after day, they were all dying, and they were dying words, or I wish I had had more info on the poke. I wish I had taken it. I don't know if that's true. I'm always suspicious on how, you know, left-wing media hosts, websites or right-wing suddenly got access to deathbed proclamations in a world where my father-in-law right now is in the hospital and I can't even go see him because of COOF restrictions. So how exactly is the New York Daily Post or the Huffington Post finding out these people's deathbed words? They're made up. Of course they are. They always happen to fit their narrative too. Longtime co-host Robin Quivers, also worth $100 million, chimed in, "You know, I have trouble drumming up compassion. I think that's a terrible thing to not be able to drum up compassion for people that are stupid and they wind up dying." Conservative host Mark Bernier, who dubbed himself Mr. Anti-Poke on his holiday weekend WNDB radio show from Daytona Beach before dying of the COOF, took a special drubbing from Stern. Where is that clip of Mark Bernier, the guy who died? He said he was chuckling. Radio cohorts poked fun at the late Bernier's infamous nickname. Yeah, he's dead. He no longer walks. Well, one might argue that the dead should be left to rest in peace. No, everyone really should. Stern pointed out that there are at least three others on the radio still preaching this stuff. His bottom line, COOF pokes should be mandatory. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Again, this is where you cross the line. This is where you get into weird. Look, I would never, and I do think it's grossly irresponsible of there are, in particular, generally conservative radio hosts, from what I can tell, who are espousing a lot of this stuff. I don't think that that's responsible because they're not doctors. They're not these people's doctors, and there are people out there that will just listen to you blindly. That's why I'm always really careful in how I choose my words when I'm talking about this. I don't want any of my viewers to feel like my opinion matters whatsoever in terms of what they're doing medically with their bodies. It's not my place. I think if I were a doctor and if I were, you know, at a deep understanding of this stuff, you know, maybe I would have a different opinion. But, you know, Howard Stern is also not a doctor, and he really shouldn't be, going down this line. I mean, is he going to pay? You know, side effects are real. I know they're extraordinarily uncommon, but let's say a Howard Stern listener goes out and gets it and has something bad happen to him. Is Howard Stern going to pay for that? No, he's not going to pay for that. That's why you just avoid that kind of stuff. And you all see Howard Stern says people who are unpoked should be denied hospital care. What? Like, bro, you could buy a hospital. And the fact that you have this constant othering, I just don't think that it's productive. It's not productive in the least. It's not convincing anybody to change their mind. It's not convincing anybody out there to go get the poke. If you want to do it, you've got to talk to people as their peer. You can't shout them down. You can't get on some sort of moral superiority rant, talk about how, you know, you are somehow a better human being because you've done this, and that until this other person of some unknown, you know, some unknown characteristic or whatever, origin, they're not as good as you because they didn't make the same medical decision as you. Again, I don't even talk to my own wife about it. I don't even know if she's got it or not. I don't care. That's how little I care. She goes and gets her flu poke every year. She's probably got this, and that's cool. That's like, I'm so out of other people's medical information unless it affects me that I don't even ask her about it. I mean, she wanted to talk to me about it. She absolutely could. But I wouldn't want to tell her what to do. It's so weird. And then, of course, Tim Pool called Stern a loser, and Twitter lost their mind. When I was a dumb F-15-year-old, I bought dry cat food, broke it up into smaller bricks, wrapped it in plastic bags, and sold it to older kids as herbs like an Xbox. That kid would make a fortune day selling mayonnaise to Alex and Tim Pool viewers. Zachary Patrizio dunking on Tim. We all know I had to do, who knew all I had to do was call Howard Stern a loser in order to start trending on Twitter. Well, Howard Stern is probably objectively not a loser, at least financially and in business, but he's a clown, always has been. You know, and is this you, bro? Like, you know, do we need to look at, you know, Tim Pool's, you know, we must ban smoking, obesity, unhealthy food, and force people to exercise and require medical screenings, checkpoints, and heart medication. That's like the next, you know, logical step in where Howard Stern is going. It's sickening to me that people would. So, first of all, you shouldn't listen to Tim Pool or Howard Stern about what to do with your body, or me, or probably anybody on Twitter. It looks like 13,000 people agree. I wish that they hadn't made this whole poke situation. I wish it wasn't so politicized, because I do genuinely think people are like afraid. They're like, oh, I don't want to let my side of the aisle down, so I better go get it. Or I don't want to let my side of the aisle down, so I better not get it. That's terrible. That's absolutely terrible. You know, is this you, Howard Stern? Tell me again why I should listen to you, Howard Stern, about, you know, medical advice.
Chapter 2. Google employees claim that watching Ben Shapiro leads to genocide.
Now, Google has had a wide variety of, how do I say, interesting pieces of documentation come to light over the past few years. And ultimately, Google owns YouTube, and therefore they are my boss. So I thought this was an extraordinarily interesting article to read, as Google is now teaching employees that listening to Ben Shapiro will lead to the mass removal of a particular race. I'm not kidding. Hey, you want to stop sharing your data with companies like this? It's all a VPN. The one I use is private internet access. They have a massive discount going through this week. I'll leave a link in the pinned comment down below. You can access region lock content. You can keep all your data to yourself so companies like Google and Facebook can't sell it. You can browse anonymously. And not only are you protecting yourself, you're supporting the channel. So after this video, make sure you get private internet access using my link in the description to save huge. The tech giant Google is holding anti-racist training for its employees that claims a direct link exists between listening to Ben Shapiro, editor emeritus of the Daily Wire and host of the Ben Shapiro Show, and committing mass deletions. The training also places former President Donald Trump on a list of ideas and people that lead to awful things like what happened in WW2, along with apolitical beliefs and phrases such as all lives matter. Shapiro, Trump, and the rest all contribute to the normalization of racism that eventually inspires terrible things to happen and leads to the mass removal of entire groups of people, according to the slide of training curriculum obtained by Manhattan Institute's Christopher Rufo. By the way, Christopher Rufo, if I remember right, was the guy that broke the Reimagine Tomorrow Disney heinousness. And after exposing this, Twitter removed his verified checkmark. Ooh, they got him. Another graphic titled The White Supremacy Pyramid advances the idea that conservative commentator Ben Shapiro is the foundation of white supremacy, and Donald Trump is moving society on a path towards mass removal of people that they don't like. Rufo tweeted alongside with the image of the pyramid. You see, a Google DEI, that's like diversity, something and inclusion, right? Lead created an internal document containing readings and racial consciousness exercises. One graphic claims that colorblindness, Columbus Day, weaponized whiteness, and make America great again are covert white supremacy. Another graphic titled "The Pyramid of Such" advances the idea that conservative commentator Ben Shapiro is the foundation of this idea, and that Donald Trump is moving society on a path towards mass removals of people. I'm not kidding. I don't really recognize a lot of these people. You see ALM here on the bottom. Then you have Shapiro, and I don't know, no disrespect, I just don't know who this person is. I don't know who these people are. I see Trump. I see Gavin McInnes. All the way up to the top. So normalization and then the mass removal. Do we think that this level of insanity, that this level of just absurd rhetoric, we know that it doesn't add anything to the conversation. In fact, it only makes it worse. When you are trying to tell normal people that some little dude in a yarmulke, is that what he calls it, a yarmulke? I thought he called it something else. I don't know. The little hat guy who like recited the lyrics to WAP. This guy is pushing the supremacy of the whites. When you say stuff like this, you're supposed to be laughed out of the public square. But in current year, 2021, apparently this makes you some sort of big thinker and probably garners a six-figure pay. Shapiro, who is a top target of anti-Semitism on Twitter among journalists in 2016, slammed the Google training. "All it would take is one Google search to learn just how much white supremacists hate my work, or how often I've spoken out against their benighted philosophy," Shapiro told Ruffo in City Journal. "The attempt to link everyone to the right of Hillary Clinton to this type of thing is disgusting, untrue, and malicious." Well, yeah, we saw this happen. Most people that watch my videos understand what I mean when I say like the Overton window shifts, meaning, you know, liberal, you know, I would have been considered a liberal in 2010. Now I'm considered right of center. Even though my beliefs haven't changed, the definition or the classifications have. When you start introducing this type of rhetoric, it is very dangerous. Let me just connect the dots for you. Everybody is an evil bedsheet wearing Klan member, right? That's the rhetoric that a lot of these weirdos have. Then we normalize punching those people. We normalize, we say, these people are so evil, they must be removed, they must be deplatformed. And then you get weirdos, useful idiots, who go do something insane, who go do something stupid. Like, this type of rhetoric literally puts people's lives at risk. And to even try and defend it means that, you know, you are either disingenuously arguing or you don't understand a thing. This type of rhetoric is what makes people think it's okay to walk up behind someone on the street and punch them. It's because it's celebrated. Employees are put through a training, are taught that the United States is a system of the supremacy, and Americans are raised to be racist from infancy through adulthood. Ruffo writes in City Journal that the racial re-education program is based on the core tenets, of course, of CRT, including intersectionality, white privilege, and systemic racism. The training features prominent anti-racist activists such as New York Times' Nicole Hannah Jones and Boston University professor Ibram Kendi. Hannah Jones is the creator of the Times 1619 Project, an effort to reframe the founding of the United States and replace the Declaration of Independence with an institution of slavery. The 1619 Project has been roundly rejected by scholars of the United States and its founding. "If you name anything in America, I can relate it back to slavery," Jones said in one of Google's training videos, adding, "If you're white in this country, then you have to understand that whether you are personally racist or not, whether you personally engage in this or not, you are the beneficiary of a 350-year-old system of supremacy and racial hierarchy." It's like a kid on the playground saying, "I could turn my eyelids inside out." Why is that something to be proud of? It's dumb. It's a grift for these people, by the way. They go into a company and they say, "Oh, you have all these deep problems. You wouldn't want Twitter to say that you don't want to hire somebody who's going to teach you how to be anti-racist. It's insane. CRT critic Christopher Rufo then gets unverified by Twitter after criticizing big tech wokeness. Yesterday, my Twitter support disappeared my verification badge. I've inserted my pronouns in the bio in hopes of having it restored. Fingers crossed. It won't be. After a recent review, we've determined that your Twitter account was incorrectly verified. This is the same reason somebody would, like, I see this all the time. Somebody with like 2,000 followers and no real reason to be verified is verified. And I check their bio and they've got like ACAB in there and they've got BLM and they've got all this, you know, they've got five different mental illnesses in their Twitter bios. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's worth verifying. But somebody doing actual journalism, that you've got to remove. You know, according to the message, it was an accident. Of course, he writes for City Journal. Question the timing of Twitter's decision to remove the badges. Their decision came right as Rufo was reporting on CRT indoctrination for employees in big tech companies. Critical race theory predominantly teaches the concept that America was founded upon racism and insists that all white people are, of course, naturally racist. Individuals took to Twitter to express big tech's obvious bias decision and express the hypocrisy that they only seem to target, quote, one side. The first person I ever saw being punished by Twitter with the removal of their blue verification badge was Julian Assange. Now this, it's a bizarrely punitive use of that designation, which is supposed to authenticate identity, but one apparently loses it reporting, investigative journalist Glenn Greenwald said. I love Twitter and believe that it could be a tremendous force for good, Rufo told the Post-Millennial. But they have to maintain consistent standards and a commitment to open discussion. Unfortunately, they have shown bias again and again. And while I cannot say for sure why my account was unverified, it raises the suspicion of partisanship. I hope Twitter corrects this error and makes their process transparent, fair, and equal. They won't. The thing is, the reason they removed his verification badge is it's an attempt to kind of preemptively discredit him. This stuff is crazy. I'm really glad people like Rufo's doing the work, getting this stuff out there, and that people like Shapiro are pushing back on it. I don't watch Ben Shapiro every day, but you know, I hardly think that listening to his content turns you into Mr. Hankity Clankity from World War II.
Chapter 3. Patton Oswalt cancels gig because venues won't force patrons to show vaccination proof.
I don't really put a lot of stock into things that celebrities say, but I do like to roast it, have a little bit of fun at their expense. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. Now, Z-list comedian Patton Oswalt has often spent probably a little bit too much time on Twitter and had some horrendously bad takes. Now, I don't know who would pay to see Patton Oswalt, but he does kind of play like the sniveling loser really well. I actually thought he did pretty good in that one season of Justified. He played the loser really well in King of Queens, and he probably plays it really well like in IRL. But now he decided that, hey, he's going to virtue signal and cancel shows in Florida and Utah. Because they won't force their patrons to get the poke or share their medical information. Now, this is capitalism at work. Certainly, in Florida, I don't think the venue can actually even... I don't think the venue can force you to show it. As far as I know, I thought DeSantis had some sort of rule against that. I don't know about Utah, but... So Twitter is worshiping him. In fact, this is actually a genius marketing move for a guy that probably sold fives of tickets to these shows anyway. He's been able to spin it into this awesome virtue signally political statement. Patton Oswalt canceled shows in Florida and Utah after venues failed to comply with his COOF requests. The comedian and actor said venues would not agree with his request that attendees show proof of poke or a negative COOF test. I always thought that this requirement was dumb anyway, given that, like, I don't know what the window is to have this test. Certainly you could have picked it up between the window in which you took the test and when you arrived there. Comedian actor Patton Oswalt cancels upcoming tour dates in Florida and Salt Lake City because the venues wouldn't force the attendees to violate their HIPAA rights. Oswalt told fans on his Instagram page and a video he made the request to protect people coming to his Patton Oswalt Live Who's Ready to Laugh tour. The good news is we're keeping everyone who comes to these shows safe and healthy because these numbers are going up. I doubt it. He said last Wednesday. Now the bad news, of course, is there are five venues on the tour that are not complying with this. Oswalt said the cancellations affect four December dates in Florida and one Salt Lake City that was scheduled in 2022. Now, certainly, just like Patton can cancel his tour date or his appearance, these venues have the right to do the same thing. In the video's caption, the King of Queens actor said he was looking forward to visiting Florida so he could take a picture beside the plaque of Travis McGee, a fictional character from author John D. McDonald's Mysteries, who lived aboard a houseboat at Fort Lauderdale's Marina. He went on to say that Salt Lake City is eerily beautiful and has an otherworldly glow. The difficult decision was made due to the rising number of COVID cases and also because I have an ego. But my ego is not big enough to think that people should die to hear my stupid comedy. Yeah, I would agree with that. Oswalt said in the video about the cancellations, hopefully in the future we can rebook those when sanity holds sway again. But this sucks. I really look forward to Florida and to Salt Lake City. I got to imagine that going to a Patton Oswalt show is probably worse than death. But of course, this is really about politicizing it. So of course, now you got Ted Cruz in here. Ted Cruz now feuding with Patton Oswalt over COOF cancellations, and it's getting ugly for the Cancun superfan. I assume Uproxx, a left-leaning website. I'm not sure exactly. Ted Cruz never misses an opportunity to take a cheap shot, even though the tactic generally backfires on him. It does on Twitter. I will agree with that. As was the case when Cruz, self-declared Princess Bride superfan, came for Wesley actor Cary Elwes, who mopped the floor with the Texas Republican, and Ted, who spends way too much time on social media, I actually agree with that, decided to come for comedian Patton Oswalt, who announced that he pulled multiple tour dates in Florida and Utah from venues that refused to require proof of the poke and a negatory COOF test for its audience members. While retweeting the article from The Blaze, a conservative outlet, Ted decided to get snippy with a boilerplate comeback. Both of his fans were disappointed. I mean, I don't think that a lot of people pay to see Patton Oswalt do comedy. I mean, I could be wrong. Legitimately, I could be wrong. This presented a huge onslaught of reactions from Patton fans. It must be first noted that he bests Cruz with 4.7 million followers compared to 4.5. Okay. But first, here are Patton's weary replies, which included a shot at Ted's Cancun fiasco, which apparently isn't a cheap shot. Ted, you tweeted this at 1 a.m., put the phone down, and returned to liquid form for a few hours. The AP bio star also couldn't resist firing a shot at Ted's notorious spicy video-like, and, of course, the hearings. Okay, Ted, here we go. I would argue that Ted Cruz probably got the best of this because Patton Oswalt seems to be going off, getting triggered about it. I mean, Ted Cruz had one tweet and Patton goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 replies. I would argue that Patton Oswalt is the one that looks bad in all of this. Of course, Patton Oswalt is doing this to appeal to a certain demographic. Hey, that's his right to do. It absolutely is. Just like when I talk about, you know, venues standing up against this kind of stuff, certainly he can make that request. But imagine, you know, a world where now, you know, Hollywood actors are going to say, or comedians are going to come out and say, oh, well, nobody with a fever is allowed to come to my shows, or nobody with, I don't know, other health ailments. I just think that this is kind of a bizarre thing to get owned by or to push. It's weird. Obviously, everyone hates Ted Cruz. So anytime any celebrity with a blue check mark you know, goes up against Ted Cruz, they're going to win. I'm sure that Patton probably sells maybe 100 tickets to these events. I would be shocked if they were in the thousands. But hey, I've been wrong before. It's entirely possible. Of course, Florida is among a handful of states that have prohibited the use of the poke passports or documentation of COOF poke. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis said in an executive order that such records are private information, which should not be shared by mandate, and that poke passports reduce individual freedom and will harm patient privacy. I've always felt this way about it. Any concert venue, like many do, like when they want to require that, I'm not going. In fact, look at this. I'd be willing to bet. So Summerfest, the world's largest music festival, started requesting it. And let's see how it's going for them. Summerfest sees thinner crowds and slower business on Labor Day weekend. I wonder why that is. I don't believe it's because people are scared. It should be wall-to-wall people. Summerfest officials declined to provide attendance numbers, or comment on attendance at all until after the festival. However, Denier Johnson, a Milwaukee native hoping to run the Sky Glider on the festival ground South End, said crowds were significantly thinner than they were in 2019. The side should be full, she said, pointing to the Sky Glider. The return side was almost entirely empty. Around this time, it was heavy, she said, in 2019. It was a lot more people than it is now. I wonder why that is. I'll tell you why. Look at Wisconsin State Fair. Also wrapped up 3 weeks ago. It did see an attendance decline of 25% this year, falling from over 1 million in 2019. And the fair itself did not require masks and did not require other health stuff like the Summerfest is. So I would expect that Summerfest is going to take an even bigger hit. People are learning that they don't really need these things. They can live without going to rub shoulder to shoulder people. They don't need to be sharing their personal medical information with some 14-year-old kid. They don't need to be putting themselves at risk in general. And they don't need to give their money to people that value, you know, that would extend these type of bizarre measures to, I don't know, own Drumpf. I'm not exactly sure what exactly they thought was going to happen here. But hey, if you want to willingly give out this information and you're willing to pay higher prices to offset the loss in attendance, more power to you. Literally. I'll just, you know, be chilling at home, and that's just fine by me. Good luck, Patton Oswalt.
Chapter 4. Marvel cancels new show for being too woke.
Remember the new Woke Warriors comic book reveal on Marvel? It was one of the most hilarious moments in Marvel superhero history. It was one of the fattest dunks Marvel has ever had on them. They got posterized by the internet because it was horrendously bad. Remember superheroes like Snowflake and Safe Space, who are gender non-binary something or others, and the overweight one, Trailblazer, who has a backpack with snacks in it, and the one that got their powers from their grandfather's internet gas or whatever on God's green earth, the Kibblesmith and these other clowns that Marvel somehow got greenlit. Well, they quietly canceled that book from what I can see. It's not for sale anywhere after the internet hilariously clowned on them. And now the new Warriors showrunner has shared Squirrel Girl clips from the canceled series and rails against cancellation, saying it was canceled for being, quote, too gay. In 20 years, Marvel has gone from flailing comics publisher to ubiquitous pop culture presence. Thanks to the success of the MCU, the studio has expanded into every possible medium, from film and television to video games, books, and of course, comics. This is via Chelsea Steiner over at The Mary Sue. And while Marvel has seen enormous critical and financial success, not all their ideas made it from development to the screen. Remember Hulu's planned Adventure into Fear series of horror-themed shows like Ghost Rider and Hellstrom? Or Hulu's planned adult animation block with the crossover series that got whittled down to MODOK was The Last Man Giant Head Standing? One such Marvel casualty was Freeform's New Warriors, a series focused on a group of young, superpowered adults learning to use their powers. Leading the team was fan favorite character Squirrel Girl. Fan favorite means, like, I don't know how you could really. I mean, the fan like Squirrel Girl. I probably would have enjoyed it because it's played by the AT&T spokeswoman, Milana Vantrub from Other Spaces. Fellow cast members included Derek Theller as Mr. Immortal, Jeremy Tardy as Night Thrasher, Callum Worthy as Speedball, Matthew Moy as Microbe, and Kate Comer as Debris. I don't know who any of them are. While the pilot tested very well, the series was shuffled between networks, and it seemed that no one could find a place for it. In a pop culture landscape hell-bent on turning every comic into a series or film, it seems surprising that Marvel couldn't find a home for New Warriors. Now showrunner Kevin Beigel from Cougar Town and Enlisted has taken to Twitter to share clips from the unaired pilot and to air his grievances about the fate of the series. Beigel tweeted that the show was canceled before airing because a singular power that killed the show because it was too gay. A rich, straight Brentwood turd. He added that the exec was later fired. Beigel also tweeted footage of Vantrub as Squirrel Girl, and his kids were watching the video and reacting to it. All of those tweets have since been deleted, with Beigel joking that Ryan Reynolds had taken control of his account. I imagine that someone somewhere probably told him, probably not a good idea to bite the hand that feeds you. And we see some footage here. I don't want to risk playing it because it was unreleased as far as I know. It looks extraordinarily low budget. I'm not a Squirrel Girl fan, so, you know, it obviously wasn't for me. But it is interesting to me that you would come out all these years later and try to say, oh, well, it was too gay. Apparently, the show was wrongfully iced for being too gay by some piece of S executive, script excerpt included. Tippy the Squirrel was going to be the second largest star of the show, characterized as a total jerk, but sweet and loving to some people. Same exec who's working on the comic book television, mind you, said squirrels can't be friends to people. Everything Beigel tweeted is collected under the thread below, because nothing tweeted ever really dies. There are set photos, videos, and a look at the puppetry behind Doreen's squirrel companion, Tippy Toe. For those who missed it last night, tons of photos and videos from the production of the unaired MCU New Warriors pilot that got dropped, but then the OP deleted them. Luckily, I saved them. Yeah, I saved them all. Here you go, and I'm already pre-blocked. Overall, the series looked like a fun and inclusive take on the New Warriors with all sorts of representation. That's obviously the most important thing. It doesn't have to be a good show if you have the right mixture of colors of people and the right bedroom companions for the main actors. It's disappointing that the series never got to make it to air, especially since it seems that one homophobic exec was to blame. Now, okay, maybe that's true. Maybe that's true. And first of all, it feels like a scapegoat, like a cop out, especially given everything that modern Marvel is pushing, especially on like Disney Plus. I can't imagine they would not have a home for this, especially with, you know, they could have just thrown it on Disney Plus. It's weird. While the culture has made great strides in terms of the LGBTQ+. Representation, it's these kinds of gatekeepers that are still in positions of power within the industry. We're going to just take this guy's word as fact. While the pilot isn't available to watch, you can watch Vantrub voicing Squirrel Girl in Marvel Rising, Secret Warriors, an animated TV movie for Disney. see Dan Slott. If the photos of the live-action Squirrel Girl are making you feel down that we never got to see Mint Milana, assuming that's the girl, take on the role, then you can owe it to yourself to check out her voice acting as Squirrel Girl. I don't know. Even these people, I mean, it looks cheap. Not surprised it was passed over. I don't buy it. I don't buy that this was passed over for being too gay. I mean, I'm a big fan of her. Big fan. I don't know what set we're looking at here. I mean, you have a squirrel puppet on her shoulder. I don't know. You've got animatronics or like a servo here for movement, I'm guessing. I don't know. I don't know. She looks happy. And then her room has a bunch of Iron Man posters in it, apparently. Again, it seems like a real kind of slimy cop-out to be like, oh, yeah, my homophobia is why my crappy show didn't get picked up. Then this mysterious phobic executive suddenly isn't at the company anymore. So nobody can, you know, actually verify this. It's entirely possible. It is. But I doubt it. I just doubt it. I just don't know. There's a cosplayer that totally rocks Squirrel Girl. I mean, there you go. Looks like a good cosplay of Squirrel Girl, to be honest with you. Not as good as the AT&T girl, certainly would have been. But I don't know why Marvel would drop the show and when they have an endless slot, so you could just throw it up on Disney Plus at any moment. I'm guessing they viewed it and thought it sucked. Thought nobody would like this show. There's room for, like, really everybody. You know, there's room for these obscure shows, no doubt. Especially when you have your own platform. You don't have to worry about making, like, feature-length movies. Like Disney Plus could have a couple of just cringe, like, ultra-niche shows, like Squirrel Girl. It wouldn't have hurt anything. I do think it's a bit sketch to write that and then back out and say, well, I deleted all these tweets, but it was somebody else who took over my Twitter account, not me. I mean, that's not exactly a bold position to take. Leave it up. If you're ever lucky to run a show, don't be an elitist. D, the crew makes the show possible. Love them, honor them. So it's absolutely retching. Burnout stories, wage theft. Oh, Adam Conover, he's one of the worst too. He's a propagandist who likes to spread leftist ideology as facts. He's debunking everything. Anyway, sorry, Squirrel Girl. Guess you don't get to see the light of day. Bummed for the Squirrel Girl fans and for the fans of the AT&T's bountiful blessings. I hope you enjoyed this video. We'll talk to you again real soon.